person, are you able to say it?
Yeah, if you can make it a bit bigger, yeah. Okay. Yeah, thanks, members. Good morning, Bra Eddy. Good morning, the honorable members of the portfolio committee. Morning, the minister, the DMM, and the DG, and the entire council team. Morning, the IEC, I hope, it's led by Deputy Commissioner, Commissioner Love, and other commissioners in the executive, our state law advisors, the Parliamentary Legal Service. We are today continuing and to close
recording
up
in progress
the outstanding issues that the members had requested to consult on, though the committee has already made an impression on the consensus informed by the process of the deliberation we've taken on. I think that they would also get a brief a recap from the content advisor just to remind on record key issues that were outstanding. And then we'll then move to the, Bra Eddy will outline the matter on the point number three, and we'll engage members to so that we close up on the matters that were outstanding. There are a matter which I felt I need to raise for the attention of the committee, and we think that or the chair think that we may need to bring the minister and the DM, the DG, back to the committee. There's a correspondence I've got to learn about in relation to the issues which are related to the ABIS or EOH and IDEMIA matters that are within the department. I'm informed also that there was an article in relation to that of one of the national papers. And it appears that the correspondence from one of the or the party in parliament raises issues that were not those which were the committee has been briefed on by the department, to the extent that there are more non-factual issues that are arising from the correspondence. It may be important that we get into the issues of the department and the committee, and when we interact on the public, we are able to raise factual issues without limiting our views as members and the parties that are constituted in the assembly. I will then inform by that matter for record, Mr. Matonsi, that you will then, because at the time the CETA and the department had briefed the committee on the issues that were arise, and in line with the treasury consultation by the department, we then decided that the committee will, in the meantime, or in the period in question, request the department to come and give the committee to update the committee on the process. And I think that decision still stands. We'll then allocate time for the minister and the DG to come and brief and update the committee on all the issues that seem to be unclarified, so that all of us were able to engage or talk with authority on the matters. We're noting those correspondence in relation to that matter. So I felt that I must raise it here. And I'm not going to limit yourselves, members, to raise on the matter. I'm going to now invite Mr. Matonsi to render item number two on apologies, and I'll immediately get into, and also Mr. Matonsi, you will then field members or stakeholders that are in attendance so that we also invite for apologies if they want to render apologies. Thank you.
Okay, Chairperson, from my side, I've got an apology from the Minister of Home Affairs and also Ms. Kanyile. Those are the only two apologies from myself, Chairperson. And from the other stakeholders, it will be, I don't have apologies, but you can just check with them, Legal Service Parliament and the Department, the IEC, and the State Law Advisors.
Okay. Thanks very much, Mr. Matonsi. We'll note, firstly, the apologies of the Minister and Honorable Kanyile. Can I invite the Deputy Minister if there's any apology outside that of the Minister?
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. That is the only apology that is coming from the Minister. Thank you very much. But we are here for any other issues. Thanks.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Can I check with the Commissioner Love or Commissioner Mieta or Commissioner Masuku, any commissioner that want to render apologies?
Good morning, Chairperson. It's Musotu Mwepia. I am standing in. Commissioner Love will join us later. She is in a meeting with the Deputy Minister of Health on a matter that they had asked that she urgently attend to. We are here, our team is here, and we will deal with the issues that we need to deal with today. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Commissioner Mehta, and apologies noted. Can I check with the State Law Advisor? Ms. Williams?
Good morning, Chairperson. It's Ms. Scott. Good morning to the honorable members as well. From the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor, it's Ms. Aisha Johar, Ms. Surya Williams, and myself, Ms. Sarah Governor, present at the meeting this morning. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. Can I check with the Parliamentary Legal Service, Mr. Njigela? Daksha?
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. From outside, there are no apologies. Mr. Chikela and Ms. Talana Harry, staff and myself are present.
Okay. Thank you. And I also want to apologize to ground my video, given the circumstances we're operating in these proceedings. Mr. Matonsi, can I get indication as to how we're going to move from here?
Okay, Chairperson. You, in your opening remarks, you mentioned that the content advisor will recap on the issues. So it was not here on the agenda. Thereafter, then it will be followed by the briefing by the IEC on the Schedule 1A with an independent candidate contesting election in one region. Then from there will be questions of clarity, comments and responses by members and the stakeholders. Then on the further issues, further deliberations, then it means members are going to be deliberating on those outstanding issues that the content advisor will be presenting now. That will be presenting now, Chairperson. That's all, and then the closing remarks.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Matonsi. Mr. Adam Salmo.
Good morning, honorable members and colleagues. I haven't prepared a presentation, but there were three short outstanding matters that the members said they needed to consult on. The first was a matter of independent candidates contesting in single or multiple regions. The second was concerning signatures, the percentage of signatures required for a candidate to support their candidacy. And third was the cooling off period. On the matter of percentages required, there was an appeal that perhaps the 50% was too high and that lower numbers such as 10 or 15% should be considered, with one member proposing 20%, so that it's more viable for independent candidates. And then thirdly, the issue of the cooling off period was something that the IEC said that they could not monitor. So this became a difficult issue in the sense that how would they be able to ensure that this requirement was met, and also whether this would be constitutionally allowable in terms of restricting the ability for anybody to stand as a candidate. And the matter of independent candidates running in multiple or single regions, the committee had already debated this before and come to the conclusion that it was that a member only run in a single constituency, but that there was no constitutional issue around this. The IEC raised it again just to give the option for multiple regions. So they will respond to that if they need to. But basically, those are the three main outstanding issues. There were some consequential amendments needed in terms of the application process for candidates, but it relates to those three main issues, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Salmon, for that recap. It's exactly as the meeting concluded in our last meeting, only those three issues. Mr. Matonsi has already informed that you'll have difficulties at 10 o'clock with the load shedding, and the Honorable Lokhwase have already also made that indication. So we may need to at least try to accommodate any other member or stakeholder that will be having challenges in the around that time henceforth. Commissioner Mierza, can I invite you to introduce the matter? And I think you'll delegate if you're going to delegate. Thank you.
Certainly, and thank you for the opportunity, Chairperson. Without much ado, I'd like to invite the CEO to deal with the matter. What we were requested to deal with was an issue relating to, or were issues relating to, Schedule 1, Capital A. We had initially provided for independent candidates to contest multiple regions, where we have received a request subsequently saying we should limit it to a single region, and that's what Schedule 1, Capital A, will now do. There were other consequential amendments for which we submitted a proposed draft on how we recommend they be dealt with. I'd like to invite the CEO to deal with this matters and his team. Thank you so much, Chairperson. CEO, please go ahead for us.
Thank you, Chairperson, Commissioner Mierza, Chairperson of the committee and members. Without ado, Chair, I'm going to pass the baton to my colleague, Ntate Shiburi, who will take us and zero in on just the one element of Schedule 1A, which has changed, which is locking the participation of independents in a single region. And otherwise, the schedule is as per our previous discussion, just by this one issue. Dr. Shibore.
Thank you, CEO, Morning Chair, and members of the Portfolio Committee. By way of introduction, at the last Portfolio Committee meeting, the Commission had presented a draft Schedule 1 Capital A premised on the ability of candidates to contest for the National Assembly elections in more than a single region. This is so because the understanding of the Commission was that the entire Republic is a constituency for purposes of the National Assembly elections, and therefore it would be constitutionally impermissible to limit a candidate to a single region. The committee has since directed that we present a drafting which limit independent candidates to a single region. We now do so. The first change, Chair, will be on the top of the slide that I'm sharing. In this regard, we're indicating here we've amended item 4B to indicate that an independent candidate may only contest in one region. So we have removed the ability of independent candidates to stand in more than one region. The next change is on page 2. You will see the bottom of page 2, we have removed what was item 5E capital B. That provided for a mechanism to deal with an independent candidate who had won a seat in more than one region. To the extent that independents are now locked into one region, the possibility of them holding seat in multiple regions does not arise. The third change, Chair, is on page 4, under item 7, which deals with forfeiture provisions. Here, we have removed from the draft that we shared in the last meeting, item 7(1) capital B, because that item provided for and dealt with a candidate who had won seats in more than one region. We have removed that, and as a result, there is a consequential amendment in item 7(2), removing reference to item sub-item 1 capital B. This share constitutes the changes in Schedule 1A, and now the schedule as it stands facilitates for participation of independent candidates only in one region and allows party candidates to be nominated to contest multiple regions as well as the national list of a political party. Thank you very much, Chair. That concludes our input.
So thank you, Mr. Shiburi, for the presentation. Is there any comment for now from State Law Advisor or Parliamentary Legal Service on the matter before I invite members? Can I check with the State Law Advisor?
Thank you, Chair. There is no comment from us at this stage.
Parliamentary Legal Service?
Good morning, Chairperson and members and colleagues. Chairperson, at this moment, we would like to just point out that from the presentations that you have received from the department and from the IEC over the past couple of weeks, what has become apparent is this, that in as far as the issue of multiple regions or single region, you have two options before you. One is to limit the ICs, that is the independent candidates, to a single region. The other option is to allow them, as Mr. Shiburu was just saying now, the Republic is a constituency for people to contest for the National Assembly. These are the options that are before you. And from the discussions that we have had over the past couple of weeks, and from the council that represented the department in the last meeting, it has become clear that you have two options which are both constitutional, between which you have to make a choice as a committee. And we repeat what we said right at the beginning of this, that this is a policy choice that the committee has to make. But we would like to just put this rider to you, Chairperson, and for consideration by the members. If you have in front of you two options, which are both constitutional, the question is which one of these two is less restrictive in terms of participation for independent candidates. we would like to put this on the table for the committee to consider as it makes a decision, that there may be a more restrictive option and there may be a less restrictive option for the purposes of allowing the independent candidate to participate. Chairperson, you will remember in our first presentation, we made the point that an electoral law should aim to enfranchise, empower, and create space for people to participate in elections, either as candidates or as voters. And this is a matter that we would like to leave the committee with as it deliberates on the choice that it has to make. There is a more restrictive option, there is a less restrictive option. And that has to be a consideration that you make as you make a decision going forward. And I think, Chairperson, I will leave it at that. And this is just the principle that we are facing based on the case that we quoted of the EFF, that the idea should be to create space and to empower and to enterprise rather than be. Chairperson, I will leave it at that, and that's the only comment we will make at this moment. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Njikela. Advocate Dibie, is there any matter you want to raise? DG? I'm sure DM. Okay. That's fine. Mr. Matonzi?
Yes, Chairperson?
No, I wanted to check if I'm still...
I can hear you.
Audible. Thanks, yeah. I'm struggling with the network. Let me invite members to comment on the issues and informed by the three key issues that were outstanding. And I think we're working within the premise that both in line with what Mr. Njikela has, or the IC has presented last week and today, within the constitutional perimeter. So we'll work within that guidance, cautioned on the legal submission that has just been presented by Mr. Njikela. I'm going to invite the Honorable Pile, Honorable Lekhwase, Honorable Rose, Honorable Koche Fanarmerve, Honorable Mulekwa, Honorable Tito, Honorable Ramlobeng, and Honorable Mutise. You'll assist me, Mr. Matonzi. I'm working on the base that members are serving in the committee. I'm unable to also to see the attendance on the other gadget I'm using. Okay. Honorable Pile.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning to members and all stakeholders. Chair, I want to start my comments or submission arising from the court judgment and how and why we are here. And I want to refer to directly from the court judgment. There is a part that speaks to Section 19 of the Constitution that says that every citizen is free to make political choices, which includes the right to form a political party, to participate in the activities of or recruit members for a political party, and to campaign for a political party or cause. It also says that every citizen has the right to free, fair, and regular elections for any legislative body established in terms of the Constitution. And three, every adult citizen has the right to vote in elections for any legislative body established in terms of the Constitution, and to do so in secret, and to stand for public office, and if elected, to hold office. And then it goes on to say that you also have the right as an individual to not associate yourself. And this is the prior to that section, there's another part in that judgment that talks about you wanting to not have any association or align yourself to any political party. And Chair, then draw the committee's attention to the basis of having to amend the Electoral Act to allow for a South African citizen, adult citizen, to be able to participate in a general election and to be able to do this as an individual. Now, if one is contesting the space as an individual, it means one. Again, I'm going to stress and emphasize, as I have over the last few months, that this is one person. And if you look at all the presentations that we've received thus far, Chairperson, it speaks to an independent contesting two spaces. One is the legislature, which is the province, and then the national legislature, which is the NA. And for better reference, I'm going to refer to it as the National Assembly. Now, the question one draws is, if an independent is contesting the National Assembly as well as the provincial legislature, which seat does that independent occupy, bearing in mind that this is only one person? And if you had to acquire enough votes in terms of meeting a threshold for an allocation of a seat, where would that independent then occupy a seat? In a provincial legislature or a national assembly? And I think it's an important question that one needs to draw attention to, bearing in mind that the independent cannot occupy two seats. The difference to that is that political parties have a list of candidates, and they would then allocate accordingly in terms of the number of seats that they acquire when it comes to then placing members within the respective legislature. But I want to break it down to something further, and this is where we can then be able to reach a decision. We've requested that we get submissions in terms of the constitutionality of both options. And we have been presented by the state law advisor that says both options are actually constitutionally permissible. And that means that whether we choose the first of a single or the second of a multiple, we are still within a permissible constitutional requirement. Now, if one had to look at the three ballots that was proposed, we have the first ballot, which would be, for better reference, province to province, that's the legislature. Then you have a second ballot, which is the province to national. And then you have the third ballot, which is the national to national. And I may be corrected if I'm wrong or my interpretation is incorrect. That on the national to national, there are no independents because these are compensatory seats and will only and it's only reserved for political parties. Whereas in the province to national, the presentation by the IEC was saying that perhaps IECs should be allowed to contest in more than one region because the republic is a constituency and it's one. But the argument I want to make, Chairperson, is that if you are contesting the republic and it's the constituency is one, you are still coming from a particular region. And even if you had to contest multiple regions, Chairperson, the votes are not aggregated. We've agreed as a committee already, and even the IEC in their presentation have submitted, the votes are not aggregated. So how much of a difference is it making if one is contesting in one region or a multiple region when votes are not aggregated? It means that you are going to then receive the highest number of votes in a particular region, and that's where you may want to occupy. And in terms of the province to province, I think it's already been stipulated clearly that you have to be a registered voter within that province. Now, I think it draws us to, and I'm coming to a close on this point, of whether we agree on the second ballot, which is a province to national, that independents can then be allowed to contest in more than one region because they are registered within the Republic as a voter. But the question I'm asking again, and perhaps we need to get clarity, is that they are going to occupy only one seat. And have we even delved into whether they are going to contest both the province and the national? And if they are, what is the repercussions of where they occupy a seat? Because I think that is something that we have not been able to answer. So Chairperson, my submission to the committee is that we have agreed on a single region, which personally is still constitutional. It's less complicated. But again, there may be no harm in the second ballot of a province to national, bearing in mind that votes are not aggregated and that you will only occupy a seat when it comes to the highest number of votes acquired in a particular region. And then, Chair, I'm not sure whether we are going into percentage of signatures and cooling off period. Can I just beg your indulgence on that?
I wanted us to exhaust the first this point, on our play, so that we were clear, and perhaps the IEC may need to come back on the critical question you have now raised. And if there are other questions that members need to raise, they can do that so that we close up and we go to this second and the last one. Then we
sure, Chair. I'm sure I've said a mouthful. I'm going to leave it at that, and perhaps other members will deliberate. Thank you.
No, thank you, Honourable Lokhwasa.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would not want to waste time, but say I share the same sentiments as Honorable Pillay. And maybe one will make a follow-up after the question he has just asked has been answered. And also would like Mr. Njikela to maybe deliberate more on the restrictions that he spoke of, the other option being less restricted, whereas the other one is more restricted. Maybe one will make a follow-up when such has been answered and maybe more clarity has been given in terms of the restrictions he spoke of. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, that's another question, Mr. Njikela. We'll come back to you. Honorable Co-Chair?
It's Honorable Ruas first.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Honorable Ruas, yes. I didn't write my notes yet because of the...
Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, sorry.
Right, thank you, Chair, and also to the presenters for their input. Once again, Chair, we have received this document the evening before a meeting, and it was a by-election day. We were quite busy yesterday, but after celebrating the DA's emphatic victories in Tshwane and Modimolle last night, I did manage to go through the document. So, you know, we looked at an alternative, Chair, and having been given the impression by the IEC that it could be unconstitutional, this is why we went down that road. And it was then indicated, that it was not at some point in the deliberations. And this is where we as a committee specifically asked, can we get a declaration of constitutionality on specific issues, including this one of multiple regions versus single regions? And we did receive that. We had a meeting about that. We received it from the state and the parliamentary law advisor that said it's permissible. And we would actually argue, Chair, that it is not less restrictive because I, as a region, for example, I was on a Gauteng to National Assembly list. And I could only be on the Gauteng to National Assembly list. I couldn't be on the Western Cape one as well and on the Free State one as well. So I don't understand the argument about unfairness or whether there's a, you know, it's detrimental, because to me it's the same thing. I choose to stand and associate with a political party. I'm restricted to standing in Gauteng, where I'm registered to vote. So I really don't see the issue at all. The only reason we went down that other road is because it was suggested that it was unconstitutional. So that is our point of view, Chair. But also, just in terms of a technical input on Section 1A, I just have a question for the IEC in terms of Item 4, where it says that a candidate A may be nominated for one or more regions and the national list of a party, and B may be nominated as an independent candidate in only one region. So I'd just like to understand that point A. I don't understand why A says it seems to suggest that persons in a party can be nominated for one or more regions and on the national list. Because my understanding of what we're saying is that as it is now, a party candidate can also only stand in one region. So I'd just like to get clarity on that. And then I think a very important point, Chairperson, if you go to the last section of that document, is the issue of the filling of the independent vacancy. And a big challenge that we have here that I've also raised before is it is suggested that we use the process as per Section 7, which essentially says that if an independent were to resign or pass on, then their seat would be filled by a recalculation. And the challenge that has been raised before, both in the public forum and in this committee, is that that can result in a situation where you're filling one vacancy, you do a recalculation, and a party or person that is already in the National Assembly then loses their seat in the calculation, along with the independent. And then you could have two other parties, or an individual and another party, that then each gets a seat. And it creates a challenge. And what we agreed as a committee is that when it comes to filling of the independent vacancies, we take the original result as calculated, and then we look at either if it's if we're at the stage where we're doing highest remainders, the first five, that we then choose the next person that was on there, but it wasn't elected. Otherwise, we go to the highest averages and we just choose the next person from that original calculation and they go in. So this was our understanding all along, and that avoids this anomaly, which is definitely possible. I've seen the calculations of how it can work simulated. So this is problematic, that section. And that's, my proposal to the committee is that we just go with our original call on this, which was to say, if an independent resigns, et cetera, then you just take the next person on the final calculation of that election. The next person that would have come in comes in. That's all the input from me, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Ross. And I think they'll come back on your question.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and greetings to our colleagues, the IEC, and our legal advisors. I wanted to start with what the Honourable Ruiz just raised in terms of the filling of vacancies, and I want to support him in his proposal because I had the same concerns, and I think we need to support his proposal that we go back to the original decision and that we take the next person, as he's just articulated. But that being said, Chairperson, I wanted to say, I think the arguments being made for and against multiple regions or a single region, I think there are merits, of course, in both arguments. However, Chairperson, I wanted to say that one of our biggest concerns is that we want to protect this process against possible litigation, because if possible litigation happens, it will really put the 2024 elections at great risk. And so when the IEC tells us and the Parliamentary Legal Advisor tells us that the option that we are taking as a committee or considering as a committee is restrictive in nature, and that maybe we should err on the side of caution and take the option that is less restrictive, I really think as a committee, we should take it very seriously. And so as much as I understand the arguments being advanced for both options, I do think that we should really, as a committee, our job is not to be less inclusive or less restrictive, but to make sure that we allow candidates to compete, independent candidates to compete fairly. And when you look at the two options, in my view, the one is more restrictive and the other one less restrictive. And I'm going to leave it at that because as Honourable Pillay did ask questions that must be answered. And maybe we will come back to this point once we've heard from the Parliamentary Legal Advisor and the IEC. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Co-Chair. Honourable Tito. Mr. Matonzi.
Yes, Chairperson, she's on the platform. I'm not sure if she's having a problem, but she's on the platform.
Okay. Honourable Molekwa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I don't want to repeat what has already been said, Chairperson. I would support or agree with Honourable Pillay and Honourable Lohase. I think they covered me. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Ramulobe.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning to colleagues and everyone on the platform. Chair, I would share the same sentiments as Honourable Pillay. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Mudisemta.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think in light of the presentation that has been given, that both options are constitutionally permissible, I think as a committee, because we are in pursuit of wanting this process to be fairly and not to be restrictive to the independent, I would really support the view that we must take an option that will really seem to be fairly to avoid litigations or the parties that actually took this process to the courts to go back there. I want also to align myself with the fact that as it has been indicated that contesting at the national level as one constituency will also advisable. Maybe as a committee, let's continue with that view and consider allowing independents to contest in all regions, but stick or emphasize on the decision we took the previous time that the votes that would have been garnered will not be aggregated. So an independent will only have an option to take the votes where he would have received the highest votes or in the particular region. I think I want to align my views in that particular manner, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let me again check Honourable Tito if she's want to contribute. Okay. I'm going to invite I'll start with the IEC on the key issues that were raised by members in, I think, initiated the inputs by Honorable Rose and Honorable Pillay. Secondly, I think we've dealt with the matter in relation to the replacement of a member, I mean a candidate, or at that time will be a member, in our last committee meeting, and that stand as our understanding. Then I will invite Mr. Njikela on the matters that they've raised, that for cautioning the committee so that we're able to. And I think there's a sense of where members want to take a decision on these two policy options. So I'll invite the IEC to clarify the matters that are there, are raised, and Mr. Njikela, if state law advisor has to come in, I'll also bounce with them. then we'll get members to raise the issues. And I think already the Honorable Modise has laid a principle on a decision option that we need to consider as the committee. Commissioner Mieta, on your delegate, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think the issues that have been raised by Honorable Pillay have somewhat been reflected on by other members. I will call on the team to respond. But I need to say this. Honorable Modise Mpia has in fact properly covered the issue. When we raised the issue of an independent contesting in more than one region, there were clear conditions we had laid down. One was that if they win more than one region, they can only take a seat in the region where they have the most votes. In other words, where they had the most support, and they will therefore forfeit those areas where they did not get the most votes, even if they had won. It is evident that an independent, in terms of the definition of the bill, is a person. It's not more than one person. It's an individual. And that is what we had taken into account. There are a number of other issues that have been raised. I'm going to invite the CEO to deal with them. I am glad, as I understand, Chairperson, you do not want us to go back to the recalculation issue that was raised by Honorable Ross and Honorable Van der Merwe, if I properly understand you.
Thank you, Chair of the session and Chair and Commissioner Mieta. Look, let's start with that very issue that Commissioner Mieta is stepping off of the replacement. Our proposition to the committee is that we use a forfeiture calculation in the event of an independent vacating a seat for the following reasons. It is the more pure way of doing it, and it brings all contestants in that region into contention for that seat. It is based on the original votes that every contestant received in that election. The divider in the formula is going to be small because you're removing the seats already held, the seats and votes already held by the independents. So it's a much fairer way of doing it by bringing everybody, every contestant back into contention. And be mindful that it is you, if you had a seat originally awarded at election time, you can't lose that seat even when a recalculation is done. You won't lose the seat. All this calculation says is that you are now in contention for an additional seat that has become available. So in a sense, is being both independents that don't have a seat, as well as all political parties, will be in contention for that additional vacant seat. And I just want to emphasize that on that formula, you can't have a seat at election time, and then after this calculation, the replacement calculation, you you suddenly lost a seat that you already hold. That is not so. You can only but get you are in contention for an additional seat. Well, that's our proposal. We think is the more pure way and more fairer way of dealing with the replacement. But if the committee just simply wants us to go to the results as they stood and the calculation as it stood after the election, and simply go to the next one, that can be done. What we're proposing will achieve the same effect because a party that was next in contention, even on that calculation, it will be the first party to gain in any event. I think we've argued our point that it's best to do a recalculation. It's more pure and so on. But if the committee sees differently, then a decision can be made and we'll adjust accordingly. Then there's an issue that Honorable Rose identified around party candidates being able to contest multiple regions. I think that has to be corrected. In line with Section 27C, capital A, the schedule has to be aligned with that principle. That if you're locking independents in one region, and so must be party candidates locked in the same region, locked in the one region. So, and that provision 27C, capital A of the bill provides that, and the schedule must then also be brought into alignment with that. I think that's a fair point. Now, the issue that Honorable Pillay brings on the table relating to whether candidates, and I mean party candidates or independent candidates, can contest a province and region, is a matter that in my recollection has not been directly placed before this meeting in the past. If it has, I missed that. And it's a matter that we can go look at and bring a proposal if that's what the committee would wish us to do. But the options there would be allowing that and then giving people an option to choose if they elected either in a province or not, or locking people. The constitutionality of that would have to be considered quite carefully once again before any proposition is brought to the committee. But certainly it's a matter that has not been squarely brought before us for consideration up to so far. Thank you, Dr. Mepp. I'm sure I've dealt with the issues that we needed to respond to.
Yeah, just on the that point, Honorable Mamabolo, sorry, Mr. Mamabolo.
That's very prophetic. It's
No. I think let me give it to you that now the point that Honorable Pile raised, and I'm getting a sense that perhaps the collective of Commissioner Ami also aligned to your thoughts, because the intention was to close this matter today in this meeting. And I'm trying to sort guidance if we ought to allow you to make a refresh on that matter, whether it may limit us to affirm on one of the options that already are under a discussion. And I think also members may need to guide, because it's a critical matter that we need to satisfy ourselves and also the legal team. But I'm worried about the time, so that we need to conclude on the on this matter. We can in principle all resolve on this matter, because we still have sessions on the other house that may look this matter differently if we will not allow to have more time. I'm trying to persuade members, given what Honorable Mutise has already raised, now that the IEC on the matter that the Honorable Players raised were not adequately sought legal advice on that. And if we had to allow in the manner that Mr. Mambolo is raising, may extend our time. And I don't think that we have that time. What I'm convinced is that we've adequately deliberated on the matters, and I think these are the technical issues that arise. Members will think, and as they deliberate, may deal with that matter. I'm going to invite, I will come back to you, Commissioner Mpetsa or Mr. Mamabolo, on the same matter before I invite members. Can I invite Mr. Njikela?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I don't think I can put this higher than I have already done. In my last intervention, we made a point that given the two options that are facing you, it will appear to us that you have to consider both options and make a decision on that. And one issue we have already put before you was the issue of a less restrictive means. But again, Chairperson, if you read the judgment in the New Nation Movement matter, it's very clear that the choice of an electoral system is a matter that falls squarely within the discretion of Parliament. And this is where you find yourself exactly now, Chairperson. So the point we were making was that you are confronted with two options. One may be considered to be restrictive and the other one to be less restrictive. That is the point we wanted to make. And I want to affirm again, Chairperson, that a choice of an electoral system in terms of the judgment is a matter that is entirely within your discretion, subject, of course, to rationality. And rationality demands a simple thing from us, that when we make a choice, the choice must be linked to a legitimate government purpose. As long as we can be able to pass that threshold, we are in the clear. But I think the point we were trying to make, Chairperson, was that we need to come up with a system that will create the space for fairness, for equity, and for the public to perceive what we are doing as being open and creating space for all the parties to compete. When I say parties, I don't mean political parties, whether it's independent candidates or political parties, to be seen to be competing fairly in the system. So I think that I can't take it any higher than that, Chairperson. We defer to the committee's discretion on this matter, but we just needed to make those principles clear to the committee for consideration.
Okay.
Chairperson, there was a talk about, I don't know if I can go to the issue of the cooling off period, or you want to finish this point first?
Yes. I think we just want to finish this one, then we'll get into the second one and the last one. That will
Thank you,
Chairperson. Yes. IEC, let me come back to you on the matter I've raised so that I invite members to make further comments.
Chairperson, if we have to look at Honorable Pillay's question, we will do so as soon as possible. Of course, this is not a matter that had arisen before. It has now arisen, and we will look at it, and we will give you our considered advice, and we will do so possibly on or before the next session. Thank you, Chair.
Members, these are the responses or comments, let me say that, that are contributing to enhance our process to take a decision. I think you're raising them so that we're able to affirm options that we are the committee may need to consider, and I'm getting a view from members that suggests that we ought to create a platform that is less restrictive for candidates to participate. Can I get invite members again so that we get to facilitate the finalization of on this matter. In that sequence, Honorable Pillay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I'm very keen to listen to the IEC's submission on my earlier question, particularly because I think it is able to give us direction. But Chair, I want to emphasize that you can't leave that squarely to a preference where one will then decide whether you take up a seat in the province or the National Assembly. And for many reasons, because, you know, it means having to print on two ballots. It means wasted votes in any one of the ballots. And I think I stand to be corrected. I think the bill in its current form was actually saying that you choose to either contest, either win in the province or region or National Assembly. I might have to be, just have to look. I was trying to find the original bill just to look at it, because I think that it was in the bill that said you need to choose where you contest. And if it is the case, then perhaps we may want to leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kwase. Honorable Muros.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, you know, we had quite an extensive public participation process. And I think it's important, you know, we zoom in on these things and we get more in detail and it gets technical. But it's important not to forget first principles as well, and what came out of the public participation. And certainly, you know, there was this call for direct accountability. And this led us as a committee in the beginning to lean towards saying that you need to choose your region.
Honorable Ross, you got cut. Honorable Ross? Mr. Matonzi? Honorable Lizelle, I'm still on the platform. Or Honorable Ross?
So we can hear you. I think he's having a problem.
I think he's, No, thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm not going to repeat what I said earlier, but I'm very glad that in your summary, you have made the point. And I think, Should I continue?
Honorable Ross, I'll bring you back again because you got cut. Let's allow Honorable Lizelle to proceed so that we don't. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, Chairperson, I, you know, as much as I heard your concerns about time, I think I would support that the IEC goes back and presents something to us on the question that Honourable Pirulai had raised, and I would like to also support the proposal that Honourable Modise had made. But I'm comfortable that you had indicated in your remarks just now that there's a consensus that we would like to be more inclusive, more and not more restrictive. And I think the question before us is, when we look at these two options, as the parliamentary legal advisor has advised us, will the public perceive the option that we are choosing to be more restrictive or less restrictive? Because at the end of the day, the process before us, both options, yes, are constitutional, but are we creating a fair environment, an inclusive environment where all can compete fairly? And that is where we need to, like I said, err on the side of caution. And I want to stick with that. And I'm happy that you're saying that we'll go back and look at some of the options. And I'm glad that Honorable Modise had also mentioned that. So I'm not going to repeat what I said earlier. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Mulekwa. Okay, Honorable Ross.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Mr. Chairperson, I think I'll just go back to the start again. And, you know, Chair, we had an extensive public participation process. And, you know, one of the first principles that we looked at was this issue that came up again and again of direct accountability and the public asking for direct accountability. And I think we have a danger, you know, we keep talking about avoiding litigation, and I've also mentioned it before from a constitutional point of view. But I think we've also got to be careful that we don't say, well, if somebody is going to threaten to sue you, then that makes that input or that view more important than all the other public input from people that cannot litigate. So we have a public participation process, and everybody's inputs there should be equally considered. So Chairperson, you know, I think we've been presented with a false choice to say that our choice is whether to have a restrictive system or a not restrictive system. The choice, Chairperson, and what the Constitutional Court has said is that you should have the right to associate or not to associate. So if I choose to associate, I associate with the DA and their principles and their values. And so I, as a candidate, stand there. I can only stand in Gauteng. So as an independent, I choose not to associate. Why should I be able to stand everywhere? What is the difference? Because at the end of the day, I go out into my community in Gauteng and I represent their interest in Parliament. That is why I am from Gauteng to the National Assembly. And so this thing of restrictive versus non-restrictive, it's allowing the independents to stand on exactly the same terms as a party candidate. So Chairperson, I hear what is being said and we can receive more inputs on it. But I think we just, you know, we shouldn't say just because somebody wants to litigate and so forth, we shouldn't have a situation either where you now have one candidate that has different. So now you say, well, the independent should be able to stand anywhere. the party candidate should be able to only stand in their province. But again, going back to countless inputs on public participation in terms of direct accountability and wanting your candidates to be in your area and be accessible to you. And Chairperson, I don't see how we as candidates from our province can do that in all the provinces. And Chairperson, in terms of the independent filling of that vacancy, Chairperson, I think we can, there's a saying that you can choose your opinions, but you can't choose your facts. And Chairperson, I can guarantee you, it is an absolute fact that it is not the case, as the IEC seems to be suggesting, that when you do the recalculation, only one person will come in. And the reason is that when you lower the threshold, then parties, let's say above the party that would have got a higher remainder, might now get more seats. Therefore, the lower party then suddenly has a lesser remainder. So they absolutely can lose that seat. And it's going to create a problem for us, Chairperson, because I can absolutely assure you, and Chairperson, you have a written representation on this fact. And I think we as a committee need to hear that representation. We need to understand, because it's complicated, it's mathematical, it's technical. And I've been asking for that for a long time now, to say we need to see that and understand it. It's very difficult, it's complex, it's difficult to explain. But Chairperson, I'm telling this committee now that that system that is presented there, it can absolutely result in having multiple persons that, or incumbents that lose their seat that would have gained it. And then we have a problem in our law, because there's nothing to deal with that situation. And Chairperson, we as a committee, we absolutely did agree and discuss that vacancy would just be filled by the next person in the calculation. I don't remember where and in what committee meeting we made a resolution that independent candidates would be filled with a recalculation. So I'd appreciate it if we could be advised in which committee meeting, at what time, when did that happen? Because I don't remember it. I remember us agreeing to this. And it's a much simpler solution, and it will guarantee that you only have one candidate or person coming in. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. I think one of the technique we need to at least attempt to master is to all our decisions, and as you move to a next committee meeting, we're able to have been grounded, because I do understand that each and every committee, we may need, or an individual or a stakeholder, attempt to introduce new matters, and that takes the committee to discuss issues that we've already exhausted and dealt with. And I'm raising this point because we closed our meeting last week on the points that we've requested the content advisor to raise, and all of us have consulted on. And that was our subject focus for this committee meeting. I'm not trying to rebut what Honorable Ross is raising. We'll recapture those notes, Honorable Ross, which all of us, including yourselves, we have participated and a decision was carried. And that is the point that I want to draw attention to members of the committee. We'll do that in a separate form, Mr. Matonzi, so that we gather the deliberations and the notes of the decision we take it.
Yeah, come on, because, I have to.
Sorry, Mr. Mehta.
Sorry, I'm.
Yeah, so I just wanted to fill that matter so that at least we attempt to be focused on the issues that are at hand of the committee. And I think absolutely we'll do. I think the team that we'll do a refresh. But that doesn't suggest that we'll go back to those issues to deal with. Can I invite Honorable Mulekwa?
Chairperson.
Is Honorable Mulekwa?
No, Chair, it's Simon Mabolo.
I'm not sure, Mr. Mabolo, you want to be part
no,
of the sequence.
There's an issue here that I think is quite weighty that requires clarification. Because the input by Honorable Rose suggests that the IEC has gone on its volition to implement that which the committee had not agreed. Now, that's a fundamental irregularity.
Can you hold it there, Honorable? Sorry, Mr. Mamabolo, just hold it there. Because I thought I'm on the line of members to input. Then we'll invite you once we, Honorable Mutisa has finished to make her input so that we then formulate a decision on the matter. Then we'll invite IEC if the matter they want to raise. Is that guidance be sufficient to the commissioner, to the commission?
On behalf of the commission, I accept and I ask I'll ask the CEO that we deal with the matter when you give us an opportunity.
Thank you. Honorable Ramulo Ben and Honorable Mudise, then we will invite IC.
Thanks, Chair. I have no comment.
Honorable Mudise?
Thank you very much, Chair. I think the views that I've made earlier on have not changed, Chair, and I actually have nothing more to add. Thank you very much.
Thank you, members, for the submissions you've made. Mr. Mamabolo, now is your time to make your intervention.
Chair?
Oh, sorry.
I actually had my hand up.
Okay, DM, then I'll invite the IEC. DM?
No, thanks, Chair. There are just two issues that I think we must probably bring to clarity to the committee, particularly on the issues that Honorable Ross was raising as well as Honorable Play. The first one is that the seats that are currently termed as province to national, they are actually constituency seats for a specific province. And they are determined also according to a number of factors that are prevailing in that particular province. For instance, if KZN has an allocation of 20 seats out of the 200 on the basis of the voters registered on the basis of a number of dynamics, those seats, they are for specific people coming from the province of KwaZulu-Natal, which means a person who must occupy that particular seat becomes a representative of the constituent of KwaZulu-Natal. So it becomes a bit tricky, Chair, when you are going to say you must have a person who is deciding that they are going to represent interests of the people of Gauteng, represent interests of the people of KwaZulu-Natal and Eastern Cape, and then they then decide which seat to take. I think we must look into that particular issue because those seats, they are for a specific constituent. Now, the other issue that I do not think we must consider, that the committee must consider, is the fact that you cannot treat differently people who decide not to associate with political parties and become independent, vis-a-vis people who say, I want to associate with a political party and they contest on a party list through a political party. You can't say because you want to give certain rights to individuals, therefore you must restrict the ones who have taken a choice to contest out of association of political parties. For instance, as Honorable Ross was saying, a person who's contesting in the list of a political party from a specific province to national does not appear in the list of a person who's contesting in another province, which means you have only one option to contest as an individual who associates with a political party. You must choose which constituency you are from and represent that particular constituents. Because what you do now is that you might be disadvantaging others whilst you are putting others in a bit more of an advantage. So I'm saying this is not restrictive. Actually, everyone is on equal platform when you say one constituency per person. Because already with the political parties, individuals who are contesting there, they represent that particular specific constituents. A person who's an individual will now have advantage over a person who choose to associate with a political party. So I'm just citing those issues, Chair, so that they can also be considered when the committee makes its decision. Thank you.
Thank you, DM. Mr. Mambabolo, now you can come in.
Chairperson, I was going to come in on the same matter that was raised by Honorable Ross, and which, the one which the CEO was trying to address. And I must place it on record that it is regrettable that an allegation of the magnitude that Honorable Ross makes is made against us. We have never, and we place it on record, we have never come to this committee on a policy issue. We have been requested by this committee and have done so on technical advice. There is nothing that this committee has requested from the IEC that we have not done. We were requested to come with scenarios and calculations on DROOP, on the other method, I just forgot it now. And we did so. And in fact, we raised the issue that in the original bill, there was no provision for vacancies to be filled. And this committee said there must be a way found. And that's really how we came to the party. To suggest today that we are choosing facts, we refute and we want to place on record. We find it unfortunate, Chairperson, but it is important we point that out. I thank you very much.
I'm not sure the views are collective, Mr. Mavulo.
I have no further submission other than to say the very first presentation we made following the committee's public participation process proposed that in that presentation we dealt with filling of vacancies, and the proposition made at that point in the committee was to do a recalculation. And that's the basis that the proposition was made before the committee. And I just want to stop there. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much. When I was stopping, Honorable, Mr. Mambabolo, on his intervention, I have knew that the views which have been expressed by Honorable Ruos are not the views are carried by our decisions in the process of discussions. And that represents the collective view of the committee. On some of the part of the allegations that were, or as the commission have noted as allegations raised towards the allegation. In fact, misrepresenting what the IEC has have interacted with the committee for a period of this deliberation period. And I want to state here that we are not carrying that view, which has brought discomfort to the IEC and any other stakeholder, including the legal service and the Home Affairs legal team and the state law advisors. And I think we have always appreciated the work that the stakeholders have assisted the committee to deliberate and arrive at the particular decisions. And I think we must state clearly that those are not the views that the committee carries and the views attributed by ourselves to the IEC. And I think noting what the IEC raised as discomfort on the issues that were raised, I will invite members just to make comments on that, and then we close on this on this matter.
So that
the impression that goes outside that the committee has raised these unfortunate statements towards the IEC, we don't care it. And that
Chairperson, a point of clarification, please.
I've said I'll invite members, Honorable Ross.
I just need to clarify before we continue, Chair, because I've been misunderstood.
No. I'm not going to allow that. I've said I'll invite members, and it includes yourselves, Honorable Ross. I'm stating the views that must be carried out on behalf of the committee. That what you have raised.
If you do that, then people will input on the incorrect assumptions, Chairperson.
Yes, you'll be invited. I'm said I'll invite members. I've never interrupted any member or stakeholder when they were on the platform. And this matter, because it's been raised by the stakeholders, members must have an input on that. And I don't think that is the carried spirit the committee has to interface with each other and the stakeholders. We'll give members to interface on the matter and we'll take the decision on the matter that we've been deliberating. If there's any clarity or anything that members want to raise towards this subject, because it's an important matter that the IEC is raising towards members of the committee, including and yourself, Honorable Ross. I'm going to start with the Honorable Pillay in that sequence, and then will anyone want to raise clarity on the matter will raise it in the sequence of the discussions. Honorable Pillay?
Chair, I agree with your summation that that is not the view that we hold, and I think it's important that we maintain that. Thank you.
Honorable Khwase? Honorable Lizen?
No, Chairperson, I've got difficulties now in terms of this process because the Honorable Ruiz says he was misunderstood. So I don't think I'm going to comment, but safe to say, I think we have valued the guidance that the IEC has given us through this process, and we do value their inputs, but I don't want to go further than that because I think Honorable Ruiz should have been given an opportunity to speak first. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Ross.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, really and truly, we absolutely appreciate the input of the IEC, and Mr. Moepia is correct in terms of the fact that they've always come with exactly what they've been asked to do. Chairperson, when I stated that we can choose our opinions but not our facts, it was related to the next statement that I made in saying that the system proposed in Section 1A of the filling of the vacancy, it definitely can result in an existing party losing their seat and more than one person being allocated a seat, and that would be a problem, and it's a fact. So that statement was purely about that element of it and not about the rest, Chairperson.
Honorable Ramulo Ben. Honorable Mulekwa. Honorable Mudise.
Thanks, Chair, for your guidance, and I share the same sentiment as well, that the statement that was raised earlier by a member there is not that of the committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you, members. I think we've understood each other on how this matter has been resolved. I wanted us to pay more attention to that because it may raise or it already had made misinterpretation of some issues that were raised and may suggest that the stakeholder were not, and thanks, Honourable Ross, for coming in on that matter. There's a matter which we have on this matter of the participation on the issues that we're raising, on multi-participation and the presentation that was made by the Mr. Shibori. And there was a strong view that the matter that was raised by Honorable Pillay Committee or the IEC may need to come back and deal with that in our next meeting, which will be on Tuesday. And I think that is understood because the IEC could not have expressed its views or opinion on the matter so that we're able to firm up the decisions that were taken. We're not, and I think also the issues that we raised, I'm happy the DM in the manner that practical clarity was offered on the participation on the of the two option. Mr. Mieta, I think it will be fair for us to step off this item and suggest that the matter that was raised by Honorable Pile, we get finality on it on Tuesday. Will that suffice so that we're able to conclude on this matter of the, I think the broad understanding is there. It just only to satisfy this matter that you cannot offer to the meeting. Will that assist us and as the committee if we can bring back on Tuesday that on this matter?
We are going to do that, Chair, and thank you very much for the clarity. We really appreciate it. Thanks.
Okay. Okay. Members, I think that was carried by yourself and supported by Honorable Lizelle in terms of so that we get to finality on this matter. And I think Honorable Mutise has already firmed up on the fairness and the non-list restriction of this of the independent and candidates, and that is the view that will await the IEC only on the matter Honorable Pillay has raised. We'll close it in that matter. That will be the first item to deal with on Tuesday. The second matter was on the requirements content advisor on the percentage, the quota that were agreed that it'll be 50%, and but informed by the presentation that we made by the stakeholders, we had requested the committee agree that we need to go and consult, and I think members now have managed to interface with these views that they need to express, and we'll deal with that item, and then later we'll close up with the cooling off periods. Can I invite in that sequence, Honorable Pillay, Honorable...
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, we have agreed and we've also reached a consensus on on this item in terms of the requirements for signatures. But I think that as a committee, after receiving the last presentations, we were amenable to having to reconsider perhaps what we had already reached consensus on. But Chair, I also want to say that it's very important that while we are allowing for the inclusion in terms of ICs to participate, that again, there has to be some kind of support that one has garnered in order for you to contest. And I see this as being highest office of the land. I see this as being a bigger space from local government. And Chairperson, in light of that, I think I'm just going to be very simple to say that having to reconsider it, yes, I'm in support that it should be lowered. But again, it can't be that low where, you know, it just does not show support. And Chairperson, I want to propose that having to reach some kind of reasonable percentage, I propose that we bring it down from 50% to 30% as being the required number of signatures for contestation. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Lukwase. Honorable Ross.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, having had the opportunity to caucus and really looking at the input of the IEC and certainly considering other views on this, you know, I think initially it was quite a difficult one to look at, because if you look at international standards, there's all sorts of different figures that you could choose. But I think certainly our view is that what the IEC is proposing is definitely the right way to go, the 20%. Which to our understanding, it's on the lower scale of what the IEC has proposed. And so the DA is proposing 20%, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Ross. Honorable Lizette.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson. I have caucused and our view remains the same. I previously indicated in my submission to the committee that I felt that 10 to 15% would be a more reasonable amount of signatures for an independent candidate to gather, and we made that submission because we felt that having 50%, which amounts to 20,000 or 22,000 signatures, would really impede the participation of independent candidates. However, we did mention the issue of 20% in our last meeting, and I think it was actually mentioned by Advocate De Beer. And other stakeholders like the IEC also expressed concern that 50% might be too high. And therefore, since that 20% was mooted in the last meeting, I did take that back and we consulted and deliberated on it. And we are happy to agree with a 20% threshold. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Molewa.
Thank you, Chairperson. I concur with Honorable Play. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Ramulobe.
No comment, Chair.
Honorable Mudisa.
Thank you very much, Chair. We have also had consultations, and I must indicate that the ANC view is that we take it down from 50% to 30%. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Tito. Okay. I think that the members consulted on the views that we carried.
Chairperson?
Oh.
Yeah, no, I realized that you were not able to see my hand. So Chair, it's a point of correction that the proposal was from the state law advisor and not the IEC. The IEC did not give a percentage. They just said that it must be reduced because they felt that 50 was too high. I just want to make sure that that's corrected. Thank you.
If we go back to our recourse, the IEC presented a detailed, made a detailed presentation on this expressed views that we had wanted to go and consult, and on the percentages that and the quotas that we have dealt with. And I think it's correct that there was no opinion presented on which option we may need to take. But let me just get into the issue that members have solicited the views, and it's clearer that the majority views, they want agreed that we must lower the percentage to 30%, and that will be our caring decision of the committee in terms of this process. Notwithstanding that we still have an engagement in line with other processes that may need to be still be followed by the committee and the select committee. We'll stand at 30%, and that will be the carried view of the committee. Can we now move to the next item, the cooling off period? Honorable Pillay?
Chairperson, we still maintain and still maintain the view that the cooling off period should be there for more than one reason. And I think it also allows for administrative processes to even be finalized. And I think it's important that it still remains. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Lukwase. Honorable Ross.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, we had the input that that this would be impractical to police, and I think that the reasoning made a lot of sense to us, Chairperson. So our position was to say that we could actually remove the cooling off period. In that, in reality, if you look at the timeframes and etc., if you balance how practical it would be to police it versus the intended goal of it, that our feeling is it's not really necessary, Chairperson. Thank you.
Honorable, sorry, Honorable Ross, if I have stopped you.
I just said thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Ross. Honorable Molekwa. Honorable Lizen.
Chairperson, my points on this remain the same as I articulated in the previous meetings. We did have a lengthy discussion as a political party on this clause. We felt since we are already imposing requirements such as deposits and signatures on independent candidates, that will suffice as a vetting mechanism. And therefore, we do not think that including the cooling off period is advisable from a practical point of view. For example, if an IFP member says, I have submitted my resignation to the Nkandla office, for example, those things are difficult to police, but even more so for the IEC, considering all the other additional requirements that they would also have to fulfill in order to ensure free and fair elections. So our view is that we should not include the cooling off period. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Tito. Honorable Ramalobe.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm covered by Honorable Pillay. Thank you.
Honorable Ramalobe. Sorry, it was Honorable Ramalobe. Yes, Honorable Molekwa. Sorry. Was it Honorable Ramalobe being Honorable Molekwa? I want just to be on record.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'm correct. My Honorable Pillay.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Honorable Ramalobe. Honorable Modise.
Thank you very much, Chair. I support that the cooling off period should remain. Thank you.
Any other member who I could not call? Okay, we have solicited views on all the matters deliberated and supported that the cooling off period must remain as being stated on the must remain, and that is the committee will carry that decision. The only matter which we are going to come back as agreed with the IEC is on the issue, the first item that was raised, and the point that Honorable has raised. We know that on Tuesday it will be a holiday, and the committee will be advised by Mr. Matonsi whether our committee will be the next Wednesday or the next day. I'm not sure that will receive guidance from Mr. Matonsi or Mr. Salmon. Can I check with that, Mr. Salmon or Mr. Matonsi?
Chairperson, I was able to connect now. It's early. We
yes.
do have an approval for a meeting for the 10th of August.
Okay. So the 10th of August is Wednesday?
Yeah.
Okay. Members, will is there... Mr. Matonsi?
No, it's not me, Chairperson.
Oh, sorry. Can I recognize? I can't see.
It's Honorable Ruiz, Chairperson.
Yes, Honorable Ruiz.
Yeah. Sorry, Chairperson. I think you were possibly about to give us an opportunity to raise any other issues. I just wanted to remind the Chairperson, and I probably should have done this when Adam did his presentation, but there was also the issue of the number of party agents that the IEC raised in the last meeting and asked us to consider. The proposal was that where the venue is not big enough to accommodate multiple party agents, that the allowable number be reduced or rotated. And the committee was not asked to take a position on this, but consider it for the next time. So this is one of the issues that we were asked to also resolve on. Whether in certain situations where the venue is not big enough, where the number of allowable party agents could be reduced.
Okay. Can I suggest, Honorable Ross, without imposing the view that we carry that matter again on for Wednesday, if that will be comfortable, Honorable Ross?
Yes, Chair, that's fine.
Okay. So thanks, members. We'll then carry those issues for Wednesday, and we'll then come back to finalize all the issues that we have resolved on. Is there any other matter from the side of Parliamentary Legal Service and State Law Advisors that we need to make an input? State Law Advisor, Ms. Govender.
Thank you, Chairperson. At this stage, we seem to be fine. We will start looking at those decisions that came out of today's deliberations and implementing it into the A-list. And we will be guided by the committee at the next meeting as to what further details need to be included in the A-list. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Njigela.
I agree with the State Law Advisor. We appreciate the guidance and we will wait for further direction from the committee.
Okay. Thank you.
As you will know, I have a team through you, Chairperson, if they have any other issues that are made.
Mr. Njigela, I'm not sure is whether it's on my side. You seem to be the network seems to be compromising your input. If you can be better.
Let me try again.
You're fine now, Mr. Njikela. Thank you.
No, I was just saying, Chairperson, from my side, I think all the issues have been covered, as the state law advisor has just mentioned. But I was just saying, Chairperson, there is a team from Parliament. If through you, if they have any other issue that I may have missed, you allow them to make their input. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. You can then work on the delegation. I may not recognize their names, so that you can assist me, Mr. Njikela, to invite them.
Daksha?
Yes, Chair. As Mr. Ruiz said, the IC had mentioned that there were outstanding drafting issues, and Mr. Ruiz did mention the issue of agents. And just looking at the IC's presentation, there was also a new amendment that they wanted, which was to Section 30, which is currently not in the bill. So that is also perhaps something that the Portfolio Committee might need to consider at the next meeting.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Telana?
Nothing from my side, Sibiwe.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. The reason I said you must call them, Mr. Njikela, I thought the new team that you brought, if you have indicated that this Daksha and Telana could have, is it your the responsibility? But thanks for that. Thanks for that. Yes. Thank you. DM, your team, I don't think there's any other issue unless I'm working on a wrong assumption. Deputy Minister?
No, you're correct, Chair. There's no other issue from us. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, members. Commissioner Miebza, I'm not sure if there's any other matter.
We are fully covered. I see Commissioner Laff has just joined us, but she has been covered by the apology we made. We'll deal with the matter at the next sitting. Chair, for your indulgence, it is possible that the CEO and I may or may not be able to join next week. We will not be in the office. We are attending one official business to another matter. But we certainly take this process seriously, and we will do our best to engage. Thank you very much indeed for today.
No, thanks. We've taken appreciation to Parliamentary Legal Service, the State Law Advisors, the IEC, the legal team, Deputy Minister of that are supporting Home Affairs, on this process from the initial stage that we're dealing with this matter and to this towards this process of ending on this issue. I think we must carry that, the committee carry that collective appreciation. I think where there were the issues that we raised and that made other stakeholders be comfort, we'll be able to deal with it in the same meeting. And I think we conclude today's meeting with that understanding. On Wednesday, we're dealing with only those two issues and we close on them. Then we look on other items, the business of the Portfolio Committee. Thanks very much, honorable members, for your contributions. And I think thanks very much, legal team, all three stakeholders, and the Commissioner Miata leading the IEC, the IEC. And Mr. Matonzi, is there any other matter for announcement before we stand off the meeting? Mr. Matonzi? Okay. Mr. Salmon?
Not your person. I think we're covered. The only thing is that if we meet on Wednesday, we can try have a revised a list with all the options, so we can just vote on one option or the other so that we can finalize the A list, because we're really putting pressure on the NGOP committee to
No, thanks very much.
Delaying their process.
Okay, thanks very much. I think that will be appreciated so that in the same meeting we deal with the ALIS, adopt it, and then we close on the matter. Thanks very much, colleagues. Thanks, members, and the stakeholders. The meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Bye.
Thank you, colleagues. Bye.